Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Congressman Sean Maloney, I know you have a Human Trafficking Prevention Act which passed. It's your first bill of the new Congress. A, what does it say? And B, how'd you get it passed?
Well, we got it passed the way we got 10 other bills passed in the last couple of years, by working across the aisle with people who care about some things we can agree on. And, you know, there's so much focus on what we don't agree on. I try to focus on areas where we can find agreement. We've had several high-profile stories in the Hudson Valley, in places like Newburgh and New Windsor, but also in small villages like Pound Ridge, where foreign nationals were trafficked into the United States for the purpose of being exploited, for the purpose of being forced into sex work, prostitution, or indentured servitude of one form or another. And what we discovered through some town halls and some forums we did with the FBI in the Hudson Valley is that there's no training and there's no procedures for foreign service officers to stop this at the source. You know, if people are trying to engage in terror activities or in narcotics trafficking, those are things that we know to look for at the point of origin or the point of departure, even better, in certain foreign countries. But right now, a lot of young girls in particular are trafficked through Eastern European countries, come into the United States, and are forced into sex work. They don't have any families here. They overstay visas. They don't have a language skill. They're isolated and cut off and can be easily exploited. We want to stop that at the source, because human trafficking is a terrible, terrible crime, and it is wildly underreported, and it's not just overseas or somewhere else. And so when the Boko Haram incident occurred and those girls were kidnapped in that horrible story in Africa, we saw a renewed interest on the part of the Republican leadership to do something in this area. We had a bill ready to go, got it moving, and we were able to get it done. So that's one thing I pride myself on is seeing the opportunities to get something done and working across the aisle to make a difference.
So how do you take a bill like that? What's the negotiation process? Who do you go to, the chair of the committee, or how do you make it happen?
Well, in this case, the majority leader, Kevin McCarthy, agreed to move it to the floor. I think they wanted to show some results in this area and have some strong interest on their side.
But why not?
We had legislation
ready. But, Sean, why not just steal the bill and say the hell with Sean?
Well, in that case, we've introduced it already. So we've actually have the bill introduced. So in that case, just under the House rules, they won't create a new bill. Somebody's already got a bill on that subject, so they move it. And there's a lot of good people on that side of the aisle too. They don't just want to take credit or play political games. There are areas where we can agree. And in human trafficking, my goodness, this should not be a Republican or a Democratic issue. So I had a bill ready to go. The Republican leadership was good enough to put it on the floor, and we got it passed.
Let me ask you something, because you're close to this. If, in fact, you find women who have been exploited and victimized this way, they're still in the United States, are there any of them who are so concerned about being sent back to wherever they came from that they would have continued to live under really bad conditions?
That's exactly the situation we're trying to prevent. So, for example, in Pound Ridge, there was an individual who was bringing in women from Hungary, Brazil, perhaps other countries. There was a language problem. There was a visa problem because they would overstay visas. And as a consequence, you have someone who is now here in an undocumented fashion, who doesn't have a language skill, no family, no support network, and can be easily isolated and abused. In this case, in Pound Ridge, a woman physically escaped and went to the Pound Ridge Police Department and because she was so terrified and so traumatized, and they were able to unravel that crime. So I should mention, if there is anyone listening to this interview who is in this situation, it is absolutely critical that you find a police officer and go and tell your story. You know, part of the problem is that sometimes women who are trafficked, or it's men and children too, who are trafficked from other countries, come from systems where they are afraid of the police, where they are afraid of the consequences, as you say, of overstaying an immigration visa or being here in an undocumented fashion. It's very important, if you are in this situation, if you have been brought here under false pretenses, someone is abusing you, seek out a police officer and tell your story, and they will help you.
Well, how will they help you? In other words, will you be allowed to stay, or the moment you do that, are you risking deportation?
Well, look, the most important thing is that they be removed from these horribly abusive situations. In most of those situations, there is some sort of procedure for deferring deportation. In other words, the immigration issue would almost always take a back seat to the criminal justice issue. But it should never be the case that out of a fear of being deported, a woman or anyone who's being exploited should fail to report it. Because in the situations we're talking about, you know, being returned to your home country, even if that was something that was not desirable, would still be hugely preferable to the circumstances under which they're living in this country. We're talking about people who are being forced to have sex against their will, who are being physically abused. There are some terrible stories, and they don't just happen in big cities. We've seen it in small communities around the Hudson Valley, from Pound Ridge to Poughkeepsie to New Windsor to Newburgh. It is a terrible and evil crime, and we have to be on the lookout for it. That's why we've had forums on this with you know, victims advocates, with the FBI and law enforcement, and we'll keep it up. But I do hope that people don't fear to approach law enforcement for any reason if they're in this situation.
What became of this particular case?
The individual in question was prosecuted. He attempted to kill himself, and he was prosecuted by law enforcement in Westchester.
And what about the victim? Did she get returned to the country, or is she still here?
I believe she's still in the country.
Wow.
This was a couple years ago, but I would have to check on her status currently. But I don't believe she was returned.
This ties in a little bit. We only have a couple of minutes, but to the immigration question in general. Are we getting any closer on this?
Well, you know, are we getting any closer? I mean, you know, look, what I've always said is we need to secure the border, verify the workforce, and allow people to get right with the law, pay their debt, get in the back of the line, and go forward and get this economy growing with everybody contributing and playing by the same rules and paying their taxes and paying into our Social Security and Medicare and everything else. And I think we're getting closer because the president has acted in a way that is not preferable to legislation. You know, it's not as good as if there was a comprehensive fix under legislation, but he has acted, and that's forced the hand of some of the folks on the Hill. We're going to have a big showdown on this around the Homeland Security funding, which is a really irresponsible route to take. So I hope that cooler heads prevail on this. There's no reason we can't come together and fix this broken system. And now that the president has acted, I would like to think that some folks would bow to that reality and at least find common ground around the issues of securing the border, verifying the workforce, and letting people who have come here illegally pay their debt, get in back of the line, and earn a place in our society if they play by the rules. And that is always struck me as fair and commonsensical, and that's what I support.
I got a minute, though. Don't you think it's a little stupid of the Republicans, I hate to use names like that, to alienate, you know, Hispanic voters, which all the indicators are that they're doing?
You know, I would think, you know, the politics wouldn't make sense over the long term, but really we're talking about millions of human beings here. We're talking about the very fabric of our society. We are a country of immigrants. We need to put a legal framework around this that we can all feel good about. So that people who have come here, who are raising their families here, who are working hard and contributing to our society, can pay a debt and get right with the law, and we can grow this economy the way we always have, by welcoming industrious, hardworking people from other countries who are willing to, you know, play by our rules and adhere to our values. I mean, I think one of the things the United States does really well is that we intake people and we find a common culture and we go forward together. If you compare that to what's been happening in Europe, particularly with some of the marginalized societies there and the violence, you know, we need to better integrate our own immigrant populations, and it's got to be fair and it's got to be under the law, but it's urgent, and we need to do it, and it's not enough that the president has acted unilaterally. The Congress needs to get its act together, too. That's what I support.
Sean Patrick Maloney, always a great, great pleasure to have you with us. We're honored to have you, and when we come back the next time, let's talk about politicians, okay?
Okay, great.